preach from that one verse that we read a moment ago from the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, where the Bible says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to give thanks when everything's going good. It's easy to give thanks when you're living on the mountaintop. Easy to give thanks when God just blesses and blesses and blesses. But sometimes in our lives, we run into periods of time and into stretches where circumstances are not always good, where we have burdens and we have heartaches and we have different things that the Lord has us go through. And this verse says that even in those times, we need to be thankful. Even in those times, that's what it means when it says giving thanks always for all things. I have a simple message this morning. I have some things I want to remind you about that if you'll keep in mind, you'll be able to do that. If you'll keep these things in mind, you'll be able to thank God always for all things. Now, I have to move fast this morning because I have 10 points. If I spend 5 minutes a point, we're going to be here till 12:40. But I know that some of you can't stay that long. I know some of you don't want to stay that long. So we're going to try to get done in 15 minutes, which means I have a minute and a half for every point. So you have to listen quickly, all right? But again, these are things that you already know, but things that we need to keep in mind that will enable us to be thankful always in all things. Number one, God made us. God made you. God made me. You say, well, no, preacher, I wasn't made, I was born. Let me just remind you this morning, you would not be here if God did not want you to be here. You were made by God just as much as Adam was made from the dust of the ground in the Garden of Eden. You were made by God just as much as Eve was made from the bone and the flesh that God took out of Adam. You were made by God. You are not here by accident. You are not here by coincidence. You are here by divine plan. Our Heavenly Father, God, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, made you. Number two, he made you for a purpose. Now, this is exciting when I think about this. The reason God made us is the same reason that he made Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden. The reason that God made us is so that he could fellowship with us. The reason that God made us is so that we could be part of his family. The reason that God made us is so that we can have a relationship with him. There was no person made by God on purpose to not have a relationship with him. These yokels that tell us that there are some people that God made to go to hell do not know what they're talking about. God made every single person. He's not willing that any should perish, and he made us to fellowship with him. Now, in order to fellowship with him, you got to be saved. And so that purpose can only be fulfilled if you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That purpose can only be fulfilled if you get your sins taken care of and paid for. All of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But thank God he didn't leave us by ourselves to pay for that sin, because there was nothing that we could do to pay for it. He paid for it when he sent his only begotten son into the world, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life without sin, and went to an old rugged cross. As he hung on the cross, God laid on him every one of my sins, every one of your sins. They are paid for in full. Now stop and think about it for a minute. God in Jesus Christ paid for the sin of every person. Every sin was paid for on Calvary. Now, there'll be some people die and go to hell because they've never received the payment for their sins. Doesn't mean their sins wasn't paid for. They were paid for. But they never appropriated, they never took for themselves the payment for sin. So, God made us. He made us for a purpose to fellowship with. Number three, God knows you. He knows you. Acts 1:24, and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men. God knows you better than anybody else. How many of you have been married for Over 50 years. Just raise your hand. Over 50 years. Many, many, many. Okay, put your hands down. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer. How many have been married for over 50 years and are still on occasion surprised by your spouse? No, don't lift your hand. I don't want to get anybody in trouble this morning. 50 years you've been living together. 50 years you've been husband and wife, and still on occasion you surprise each other. You find out things about each other, likes, dislikes, feelings that you didn't know that were there. God's never surprised about us. He was there when in the womb we experienced our first heartbeat. He's been there every heartbeat we've had, every breath we've taken, every experience, every thought, every word, everything in our life. God has been there with us. He knows us better than anybody else. Number four, therefore, he knows what we need. He knows what we need. In Luke chapter 12, the Bible says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things." There is not a need in my life, there is not a need in your life that God doesn't know about. When we pray and we make a need known to God, he's not surprised. He knew that before we did. Do you ever stop and think God knows what you need before you know what you need? And on many occasions, God already has the ram in the bush, Judy. He's already got the things prepared for us to satisfy the needs in our life before we even know the need. And so God knows us, and he knows what we are going to need and what we need in our life better than we do, better than anybody else. He knows what we need. Number five. Not only did he make us, not only did he make us for a purpose, not only does he know us, not only does he know what we need, number five, he loves us. God loves us. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." Now, this is hard to think about, but I want you to think about it. Before God spoke anything into existence, before God created the heavens and the earth, before he made light to appear, before he divided the heavens, before he made the sun, moon, and the stars, before he made the earth and populated the earth with the trees and the flowers and the animals and mankind, before any of that happened, before any of that happened, God loved me. Amen. God loved you. It's an everlasting love, which means it has no end and no beginning. The Almighty Creator God loved you and loved me before he made the earth. He loved us. Now, many verses in the Bible tell us that. I don't have time this morning to quote more than that one. But the greatest expression of God's love was when we as sinners, who had no remedy for our sin, the greatest expression of God's love was when he sent his only begotten Son to be born of a virgin, to live among men, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, and then allowed mankind to take him and nail him to a cross. And on that cross, laying on him every one of my sins and every one of your sins. That was the greatest expression of God's love. Greater love than hath no man than this, the Bible tells us, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And when Jesus laid down his life for us, we weren't his friends. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No greater expression of love than that. For God so loved the world. How much, Leroy? So loved the world. Can't describe it. How can we describe the love of God? So God uses that little word that he uses often in the scripture when he can't describe something. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God loved us. Everything that God has done says, "I love you." Jesus going to the cross says, I love you. When the sun comes up tomorrow, if it comes up here in Michigan, but when the sun comes up tomorrow, God is saying, I love you. I mean, when it's snowing outside, God is saying, I love you. I mean, when anything in creation that we see, that we enjoy, God is in effect saying, I love you. And so he loves us. Number six, God wants the best for us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God knows what's best for you. God knows what's best for you better than you know what's best for you. God knows what's best for you better than your mom and dad or your husband or your wife or your grandpa or your grandma or your children. God knows what's best for you better than anybody else in your life. He knows what's best. And he wants the best for us. Look, God wants to bless us. So many times we get in the way. He told the Israelites, he said, as they were going through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, he said, 10 times you've limited me because you didn't believe that I wanted to bless you. 10 times you didn't have faith. 10 times you didn't trust me. I had blessings in store for you that you did not get because you kept yourself back from me. I want you to know this morning, not only did God make you, not only did he have a purpose in making you, not only does he know you, not only does he love you, not only does he know what's best, he wants the best for you. Jesus said, I've just not come to give you eternal life. I've come to give you that life that's a blessing, abundant life. I've come to given you abundant life. And that's the kind of life he wants us to have. He wants the best for us. He knows what is the best for us, number seven. And then number eight, everything in our life he has allowed. There's a verse in the book of Revelation. I like this verse. Part of the verse, 19:6, says this, Hallelujah, for the Lord God reigneth. Now, what that word reigneth means is that God stands as a sentry in our life. He stands as a guard in our life, and nothing comes into our life unless God allows it. Absolutely nothing. I've had people ask me, why did God let this come into my life? Why did God cause this in my life? And I say, look, sometimes God allows things into your life that he didn't cause. He didn't create. He didn't make. But he allows them into our life for a purpose. He lets them come into our life. And there is absolutely nothing that has snuck into your life. There is absolutely nothing that has sneaked, if that's a word, sneaked, is that a word, Ruth Ann? Sneaked past God and got into your life. Absolutely nothing. No circumstance, no heartache, no hardship. There is nothing that has gotten past God. Hallelujah, for the Lord God reigneth. He stands at the checkpoint of our lives, and nothing gets in unless God says, okay. And God doesn't say okay unless he's got a purpose for it. So, there are people in our church right now that are going through some hard times. They have heartaches. They have hardships. They are struggling with some things. God has allowed that for a purpose. Say, what is it? I don't know. I'm not God. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than your ways. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. We can't explain to God the way God works. I can't explain it. You can't explain it. God doesn't owe us an explanation. He just deserves our faith and our trust that he knows what he's doing, and there's nothing that he allows into our life that doesn't have a purpose. So everything we have in our life, he's allowed. So here's my last 2 points. Number nine, therefore. Therefore. Remember, whenever you see the word therefore, you got to go back and find out why it's therefore. And it's therefore because it's referring to something that came before. So I say, therefore, because he made me, and he made me with a purpose, and he knows me, and he knows what I need, and he wants the best for me, and he knows what's best for me, and he reigneth, therefore, I'm going to be content. Amen. I'm going to be content. Philippians 4:11, for I have learned, Apostle Paul says, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Now, when Paul uses the word state, he's not talking about Michigan or Florida or Arizona or California or Hawaii. He's not saying, I've learned to be content in whatever state I am. He's saying, I've learned to be content in whatever the conditions of my life are. I've learned to be content because God has caused or allowed those conditions. I preached a sermon on that verse before. There's two ways to be content. Get what you want or want what you have. You can never be content by getting what you want, because if you get what you want, you'll want more. You'll never be content if that's how you're planning on being content, getting what you want. Because every time you get what you want, your wanter gets bigger and you want more. The second way to be content is want what you have. That's a good way to be content, because you can be content all the time. Because you have what you have. If you want what you have, be content. That's how Paul was content. He said, I just want what I got. I just want what I have. Therefore, I'm going to be content. And then number 10, quickly, therefore, I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to thank God for the things that he has allowed in my life, he has put in my life. I'm going to thank him for all the blessings, but I'm also going to thank him for all the hard times that come in my life, the hardships, the struggles, the heartbreaks that come in my life, because he has a purpose for them. I don't know what that purpose is. But he loves me, and he wants the best for me, and he knows me better than anybody else. And so he's trying to accomplish something that I can't, in many cases, understand. But I don't need to understand it. I just need to trust God. So I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful always for all things. I'm going to be thankful all the time for everything that God allows to come into my life. Now again, there are some things that, from a human standpoint, it's hard to be thankful for. There are some things that we question God and say, why have you allowed this to come into my life? This hurts. This causes me pain. This breaks my heart. And God says, in those times, you just be patient. You don't know what I'm up to. You don't know what I'm trying to work in your life. I have a purpose. And by the way, I made you. And I know you better than anybody else. I know what you need. And I love you. And I want to give you the best, and I know what's best. So just trust me. Amen. Just trust me. Just have some faith and trust me that I know what I'm doing, and be content. Amen. And be grateful. Be thankful. You know, if we're thankful to God, it helps us to be thankful to each other. There's a lot of people in your life and a lot of people in my life that we need to be thankful for. Amen. Thankful to. We can't do that unless we're first right with God and are thankful to him. So, Thanksgiving, wonderful holiday, special time set aside to be thankful for the blessings that we have. But it shouldn't be just a one day a year thing. And it shouldn't be for only the good things that we can recount that God has given us. It ought to be for everything. And we ought to be thankful always. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful. And we ought to tell God, and we ought to tell Jesus, and we ought to tell the Holy Spirit every day, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for reminding us that you did make us for a purpose. You know us. You know what's best for us. You love us. And you've allowed anything and everything that you know is good to come into our life. Help us to be content. Help us to be thankful. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's never appropriated the gift of life, the gift of remission of sins, the gift of salvation that Jesus purchased on Calvary. If there's just one person here this morning that's never received that gift, I pray you'll help them understand in this moment, Father, they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. They can either let Jesus pay it for them or they can pay it themselves. But if they decide to pay it themselves, it means they'll be separated from you forever. They will not fulfill the purpose for which you created them because they can't fellowship with you because of sin. But Father, help them to realize the great price that was paid on Calvary. Every one of their sins, every single one of them, was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray in the quietness of this moment that they would see their sin and see the price that would pay for it. And Holy Spirit, you would bring them to the Savior this morning. They would come with a prayer on their lips. God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Please save me from my sin. And I pray, Father, every person here that's never prayed a prayer like that would pray it right where they sat. And then in a moment, when we give the invitation, they would come and they would let us take the Bible and show them what we're talking about, how if they trust Christ, he will cleanse them from all sin, give them a relationship with you. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that we would be thankful always for all things, that we'd realize that you know what you're doing, and we just need to trust you. Make us a thankful people. Bless this time of invitation. Help us to be obedient, Holy Spirit, as you lead. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.